But lately I've been homesick. How I long just to be with him. So in the morning, should you find me with my eyes closed in death, what victory, what glory, still blessed. There's never a day he doesn't give me all I need. And when I wake up to the storm, my heart cries peace. Sometimes I try to count them, and they're too many I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed.
Sing it again.
Now I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my friends. But lately I've been homesick. How I long just to be with him. So in the morning, should you find me with my eyes closed in death, what victory, what glory, still blessed. There's never a day he doesn't give me all I need. Even when I wake up to the storm, my soul cries peace. Sometimes I try to count them, there are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed. Sometimes I try to count them, there are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just say, still blessed.
I think that's enough right there, huh? Still blessed. Wow. We are blessed more than we deserve. I was had to reminisce over just a moment or two when we were growing up. I'm talking about little. Used to go to a church, didn't have central air and heat. Didn't have padded pews, and I don't think the lights, they were probably adequate, you know, and all that. I had a whole bunch of country people, a whole bunch of them. There wasn't no city slicker amongst the bunch. I don't know if you know what a city slicker is, but anyhow, it's all country people. There was probably more overhauls than there was suits. I know there was, okay? Ties, there was a few ties on people that had overhauls on. They had a tie on, you know, and I didn't think much about it. I really thought it was just a normal church, you know? Man, you can't go to church that way now, can you? You can't. If you don't have everything perfect, people won't go to church. But I sure like going to church whenever you can feel the Spirit of the Lord. You know? You don't have to have air conditioning now or padded pews or none of them. But you sure have to have the Lord. Because if he don't show up, we ain't got church. Man. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn your Bible to the book of John. We want to read out of the 10th chapter is where I want to start today. The 10th chapter of the book of John. I don't know why the Lord loves us. I really don't. Man, I don't. I don't know how he puts up with us. He sure has to put up with me. There's not a perfect bone in my body. Not a thing I do right. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd never been able to be saved. If it hadn't been for him saving my soul, I'd be on my road to hell. And I'm thankful that he loves me more than I love him. And I think I love him. But he sure loves me more. I'm glad he shows his love whenever he sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. I have a hard time understanding God. I've been saved many years, but I have a hard time understanding what I think ought to work. Sometimes God does it a different way. And I think, well, I read the Bible, and I think, well, this is where we're going to go. God does things a different way. I like the verse in the Bible that says about God's ways and mine ways. God's ways are a lot higher. They're a lot higher. And my ways, it's easier for me to think the ways of the world. And God doesn't never think the ways of the world. He thinks of the ways of heaven. And I'm glad when I need a blessing, I don't go to the world for it. I get it from God. I'm glad that whenever we read from His pages, He strengthens not only my heart, but He strengthens my soul, my life, my being. It gives me encouragement to go on a little bit further. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning, and He's going to address some things that maybe I just didn't quite understand. But He had to kind of, can I say it this way, He had to dumb it down for me. He had to make it so even I can understand it. I know that salvation is available to any age once they reach the age of accountability. There's no such thing as an age of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's when you reach the age of accountability, no right from wrong, that's when you can get saved. Whenever you get saved, you just all of a sudden don't become educated in everything in God's Word. As newborn babes desire the sin-sealed milk of the Word, that you grow thereby. We all grow at different stages and different levels and different understanding. And sometimes, even at my age, I learn something new when I read that book and I think, well, why hadn't I saw that before? God just hadn't let me see it before, all right? How about that? So in the book of John, I want to read verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. I want you to listen carefully to these words. He leaveth the sheep and then he fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There's the both ways. He knows me and I ought to know him. As the Father knoweth me. Now remember, this is Jesus saying, as the heavenly Father, God the Father, knoweth God the Son, knows me. Even so now I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, Christ is saying, I'm laying down my life. And other sheep I have which are not of the fold. We ain't got time. I'd love to talk about that. But other sheep I have which are not of the fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore is put in there for a reason. If you take all the things that we just read and put it in perspective, because of all of those things that we just read, that's kind of the way I like to put it. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May we pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I thank you, God, for the reading of this word. And God, I thank you for all of my ignorance that I have. How that, God, you just keep on showing me. How whenever I'm weak, you make us strong. How that, God, and whenever I'm weary and war, God, how you give me that strength which I stand in need of. And I stand in need of today, God, for your supplying my every need.
Oh, God, I thank you for all the blessings. Speak to hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus today. Let me read with you, if you don't mind, 17 and 18 one more time. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Whenever I start thinking about what Jesus did, I can tell you, there's so many places I'd love to go, but if I start thinking about what he did, it's amazing. I'm not talking about what he did for me now. I'm just talking about what he did. See, because what he did, if he happened to have, some 2,000 years ago, went to Calvary's cross, there would be no reason for me and you to gather today, okay? He had to go to Calvary. And when he went to Calvary, he had to lay his life down on at Calvary. Now, I want to tell you, there were so many things that could have got in the way of Jesus going to Calvary, but not a thing got in the way. Not a thing. It could have been so many problems that could have come up. But friend, there was not a way. There was a path that God wanted him to go on, and that path was headed right straight to Calvary. Whenever he was born in this world, he was going to end up at Calvary, and there wasn't going to be a thing to get in his way to get there. Now, I want you to listen. I have a hard time understanding God. I really do. Whenever I think about what God has done, why does he put up with people that are sinners? Why? Because God's a holy God. Whenever you see God, friend, we have no ability to see God. The holiness of God is so pure that, friend, God can't look our direction. If it hadn't have been for some kind of intervening power, something that stood in the midst, friend, there's no way that we'd ever have the ability to see God. But because of what Jesus did, there was our ability to get to God. Now, the whole Old Testament, I can read to you about different examples and different things that took place. It began to show man's sin. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, it was man's sin, man's problem. And when sin just kept on multiplying and getting bigger and bigger, friend, there had to be things like the flood. And if it hadn't been for the flood, look what would have happened. But no, God destroyed this earth by flood. But he said, I'm not going to destroy it again by a flood. Boy, it would have been easy for something else to happen along the journey. But God didn't do that. God began to show us something that I have a hard time understanding. Now, what did he show us? He began to show the story, even in the book of Genesis, about one called Jesus Christ. And way back that far, way back that far, he began to show us Jesus. Now, I hate to tell you this, but we're a long time down in the journey. We're a long way. We're some 6,000 years past what we call the Garden of Eden. But in that whole period of time, God has showed us himself. He showed us different ways, different things. When we see a rainbow, we see a promise in the sky. When we see the sun and the moon, they just keep on rotating, keep on doing the thing that they're doing, and how we keep having this world, that's just a thing called God showing us. But let me show you something. When Jesus came along, he came along as a shepherd, the great shepherd, no shepherd any bigger. And he began to see like things like he loves his sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time understanding that I'm a sheep. I have a hard time understanding what God's trying to mean, what God's trying to say. So God had to explain some things so that even a person like me could understand. And what he began to describe was he has a love. Now, I want to tell you, I love John 3:16. I love that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. I like that. But friend, it was a hard time for me understanding that kind of love. But you know what? We have a description here of God the Father loving God the Son. Now, that's a different picture. You see, when we think about the Trinity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're three in one. It's easy to love one another, you might say. Well, it's easy for God the Father to show God the Son he loved him. That's easy, wasn't it? friend of mine, you know, there's an application that we put in. And some people in the church make fun of me when I say this, but listen to them. I'm going to say it again, okay? When a man and woman gets married, they're no longer twain. They become one. And that one is one in love. And that love is so unique, so individual, so close that they almost like think as one. You see, I don't quite understand a lot of that until I began to understand how God the Father loved God the Son. But that ain't the only thing. God the Son loves God the Father. You see, it's not a one-sided love. Neither is it a one-sided love when God loves you. When God loves you, He begins to start opening up things that you'll understand. I want to go to a couple of places and I want you to listen to it. And you don't have to turn with me. 18th chapter. I'm sorry, the 12th chapter. I'll get it right in a minute. I want you to listen to this, just a verse. And I want you to listen as I read out of the 12th chapter. And I want to read one verse. The Bible says, now, and Jesus is saying this, now is my soul troubled. He says, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now what Jesus is describing, it could be that he's headed toward Calvary. It could be that he's headed to die. It could be that Christ has never died before. It could be a fear. I don't think it's a fear. In fact, I think we're getting a description from Jesus that he is saying that me and you need to listen to. Have you ever thought about the day that you die? Have you ever thought about that you're going to die? I'm going to die. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. On the day that you die, have you ever thought, I don't want to suffocate. Have you ever thought about that? Or I don't want to have pain so great that I can't think. I want them to give me sedative. I don't want to have to suffer pain. We don't know what's going to happen on the day we die. Now, are we saying in this verse, are we saying, is there something wrong here? Is the Lord saying, oh, there's doubt? No, there's no doubt. Listen to this verse. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? If my soul's troubled, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? Is he saying, because of my circumstances, just don't let that happen to me? Boy, if I could choose the way I'd die, man, I'd like to go in my sleep. That'd be a good one. But see, I don't get to choose that. In fact, I must be prepared because we know not what a day's going to bring forth. We ought to be prepared. But Jesus introduces a word in this passage. He says, God has something prepared for this hour. Now, I understand an hour. In other words, I understand what's happening to me right now. Right now, I'm seeing a picture. Is God putting something on Jesus on this hour that Christ can't handle? No, no. No, God is not putting something in this world in a situation that's impossible. In fact, God the Father is letting the Lord Jesus Christ die. And when he lets him die, here's what Jesus said, I lay down my life. Now, is he laying that life down to be forever dead? No. He says, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Impossibility for a little old mind like mine to understand that. But friend, what he's relating to me is there something that Christ can do that I can't do for myself. In this hour that I'm living, I do not control life and death, but my Heavenly Father does. I do not control the circumstances that are going on in my life. I may be full of troubles and full of heartaches, But I got news for you. God the Father watches out over me. That's a blessing. If you hadn't thanked God, you ought to thank God right now for what you've got. Right? I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about what you got. You've got so many things going on that God's blessed you with, and many of us don't even take the time to thank God for what He does. He said, is this a problem? Is this something going on? Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, but for this cause came I unto this hour. For the very reason that I'm here in this world, I came to lay down my life. The very reason. You see, the reason that we work a public job, the reason we go out there is for eventual paycheck. Now, that's the reason we go. You think we go to work just because we want to? No, we go to get a paycheck. We want a paycheck. We want money for the work that we do. We think, there's the whole reason why I do what I do. Friend of mine, if Christ had to be paid for a salvation, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it. But what Jesus did, He freely gave His life for me and you. Freely. And if you can count worthy, you go ahead and raise your hand and say, I'm worthy to be saved, because I sure can't. I'm not worthy to be saved. But whenever He said that, I began to understand the Father. The Father was not obligating Him. Jesus was the one saying, I laid it down. And whenever He says, I laid it down, that's okay. Listen to what it says in the book of Luke. Excuse me, the book of Mark. I'm sorry. The wrong spot. Mark, I want you to listen to this verse. Mark chapter 14. And I want to read verses 41. And He cometh the third time. He come. This is when Jesus with His disciples. And He cometh the third time, and He said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. You remember they couldn't stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, sleep on now and take your rest. Watch these words. It is enough. In other words, it's kind of like saying, this is the end. It's enough. This is the end. The hour is come. Now, I can relate to that. Right now in the circumstances that I'm living in, I can relate. That's a term that I know better. I know what an hour means. God the Son has never operated on hours before. He's operated on eternity. He doesn't know what a season, a time, a year. No, they're all out there. But to God, everything is eternity. But to me, I understand when Jesus was going to Calvary's cross, the time was then. I tell you this occasionally. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow belongs to eternity. I tell you that. Why? That's in the book. You know what I'm trying to say is there's an opportunity for you to be saved, and if you reject the opportunity to be saved, you may never get another chance to be saved. That's important. What Jesus was saying to those sleeping disciples said, it's enough. The time or the hour is at hand. And why does He say it this way? Here's the way He said, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. The next verse says, and immediately. Here comes those people. Immediately, when God operates, He's going to lay down His life. He's going to raise it up again. There's not a thing that's happening that God is not aware of. But when Jesus did this, He did this educating us in how God works. Now you listen to me. How does God work in your life? Whenever you pray, it's already been mentioned this morning, but whenever you pray, you know, we can pray 10 times over one thing, or we can pray 100 times over one thing,
And it sometimes it seems like God doesn't answer our prayer. It seems like if it's such a great burden and a heartache on us, it seems like God ought to hear that one and God ought to answer that one. But God doesn't run the world around me. But what God does, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what the book says. What it means is sometimes God will hear your prayer, and sometimes God answers it, but that doesn't mean He does not hear you. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was not praying, get me out of this situation. He prayed there and in the other place. Both situation was, the hour is come. Now is the time. There's none other time. It took me a long time to understand God came just to die for me. You look at yourself. And are you proud of how you act and do? You look at yourself. Are you proud of your actions and how you feel and what you do and how much you give to God? I'm not talking about money giving. I'm talking about what you do for God. Friend of mine, Jesus was painting a picture. I'm going to lay my life down, but then I'm going to take it up again. I have a hard time understanding dying for somebody that don't even care for you. But a friend of mine, Jesus died for me when I was just an old lost sinner and loved me when I wasn't worth loving, but God loved me. Oh, thank God that He loved me. Thank God that He didn't look at me for where my worth was and what my value was, because friend, He wouldn't have died on the Calvary's cross if He'd have saw what my worth was. But He really did see my worth. And my worth is not measured in dollars and cents. My worth is measured by the soul that I have, that Jesus loves me. Amen. You look at yourself and see, would you have done the same? You look at yourself and see, would your situation change? I got to quickly go. I want you to listen. You don't have to turn. I want you to listen to what it said. Excuse me. When I read these scriptures in the 10th chapter, when I look over these passages and I see what God's done, whenever I see how His life was manifested, how He lived His life and done what He done, listen to what John chapter 17 says. Whenever I read these things, I want you to listen. I apologize. In John chapter 17, I want to read 16 and 33. Listen to this. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now that's a good strong verse. I have overcome the world. But 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven. I want to stop. Everything that Jesus did upon this earth was something heavenly. And if I can say it this way, He had to bring it down to me and you to learn it earthly. When the miracles were done, we didn't understand how 5 loaves and 2 fishes could be feeding 5,000. We couldn't figure that out. We couldn't figure out how that a man can walk upon the water. We couldn't figure out how that diseases and all kinds of problems or the dead rate. We couldn't figure none of those things out. But see, whenever you used to live in heavenly and now you're upon this earth, it takes a little bit for us to understand God on an earthly level. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ
is going to lay down his life, but he's going to have the power to take it up again. Watch this. The only way that's going to happen is we must start thinking heavenly. You know, that's a big difference. If I look around, if I turn on the news, oh my Lord, how discouraging. I don't care how many years you can do it. You can look at it for the news for the last 50 years and it's all discouraging. But when I open up this Bible that I read from, it's encouraging that I'm not going to live in this world. I've got a better place to go. It's a heavenly world that I'm going to. This is what Jesus is now bringing to us. He's going to lay it down. He's going to lay that life down. But friend, in that same sentence, I'm going to pick that life back up again. Now that ain't an earthly statement, no sir. Friend, that's an earthly words, but it has a heavenly action. I've looked in the face of many of my loved ones in caskets. I've looked at enough of them in the... I've looked at so many of my family members that's gone on before me, and I can say without a doubt that I've said to so many, many, many of them, I'll see you again. I won't look at the face of the old carnal flesh, oh, the old life that's going to dirt, dust thou art and dust thou going to return. Friend of mine, I'm going to see them again, and they're going to be in a glorified body. But you see, I've got to change my way of thinking from earthly to heavenly. As long as I think about earthly things, friend, there's a lot of folks that's never going to get saved as long as they think earthly. They'll never change their lifestyle as long as they think earthly. They'll never be faithful in doing things for God or going to church or witnessing to their fellow man or helping somebody along the way as long as you think earthly. But the moment that you can understand what Jesus said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. You think he was thinking earthly things? No. Here's what he says. He says, and said, Father, the hour is come. Hey, we've been talking about an hour. We've been talking about, he knew his time was coming when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew his time was coming when he was headed toward Jerusalem on that triumphant entry, when he rode that donkey. He knew his hour was coming. But now, right now in this time, he knew that it was coming this same hour. And he's telling the Father. Guess what? The Father already knew too. But now all of a sudden I get to hear it. I've been around some a lot of folks as we call their deathbed. Whenever the time of departure is getting so close that family members will stay close and stay close to them. And we stay there. And when that last breath goes out of their body, if they've been saved, we can rejoice. Their sufferings are over. But this ain't what the Lord was talking about. He wasn't talking about the sufferings of this life that he was dreading. He's talking about a return trip from where he came. I got to understand, his disciples even thought that he was going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth. Oh, friend, I got news for you. There's going to be a kingdom set up. But it ain't going to be filled with corruptness that we see all around us today. Now let me quickly, and I know, gosh, time is gone. I got to hurry. Look, look what he says. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In other words, God grants the privilege of what Jesus did for salvation to open up to every one of us. It wasn't what I done. It was what Jesus done. And whenever he goes to the Father, he said, for this reason that I laid down my life, for this reason that I picked it up again, for those reasons right there, grant unto others, I'm just going to say it this way, to all of us, to every one of us, grant them that ability to have what we can call the forgiveness of sins. Because it ain't possible for sin to be forgiven on my works. But it was possible for sins to be forgiven because of what Jesus did. Because of what he did, it made it possible that I might have life. He painted a beautiful picture that now I understand. That I know that my hour has come, my time, right here. I'm not going to live that many more years. My time is about over as far as this life is concerned. I must make preparation. Oh, I might have thought I might live to 100, but I got news for you. I don't want to live to 100. Right now is the time of my preparation. And the only way I can be prepared is to let Christ live within me. And if you're going to be saved, if your life's going to be changed, you must realize he paid it all. He come down to this earth and live amongst us. But then when it come time for departure, he left this world and his language with him. But he give an invite to all of us to go to be with him. And that invite holds today. A verse says, if I go not away, that comforter will not come. But if I go away, that comforter will come and he'll abide with you. In other words, he indwells us, but also he warns the wicked of their wicked way. And that warning may be to you today. And if that warning is to you, heaven can be your home. But heaven will not be your home unless you accept Jesus as your Savior. Going to church is not enough to go to heaven. Going to church will just send you to hell. But coming to church and finding the Lord Jesus Christ with open arms and receiving the Lord Jesus will give you entrance into the portals of glory. Do you want to be saved? The only way to be saved is to come through Jesus. It won't be through man. May we have a song, Brother Greg. I don't know a lot. I'm a very ignorant person, but one of the things that I have learned, I've learned to depend on him instead of depending on me. I've learned to depend on the Lord because of depending on the Lord, he has never failed me. Never. Whenever I thought he's nowhere around, I got news for you. He's never forsaken me. When I thought no one loved me, got news for you, he never stopped loving me. When I felt like I was alone and nobody, friend, he was already there. If you're here today and you're lost, I'd love to see you come to the altar and get saved. I'll help you. I'll pray with you. But it'll make that step. It has to come from you. Would you come to know him in the free pardon of sin? May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of this song. If God's speaking to you, come today that you might be saved and know him in the free pardon of sin. Come, my friend.